You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Formed by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
How are you this fine Friday morning?
I'm terrific.
Oh, awesome. And Devin, it is good to have you back. It's good to see you.
It's good to be back. And all I want to do is talk some basketball because a lot has happened since last time I saw you guys.
Wait, a lot has happened? Wait, no, no. Yeah, it has.
Yeah. A lot did happen.
Yeah, this is true. And you weren't there last week to talk about the champion Toronto Raptors, but you know, we're past that now.
I mean, yeah, we are past that. So we're not gonna talk about that.
Yeah.
We're not gonna talk about predictions. We're not gonna talk about any of that because I dodged it last week almost intentionally.
Well, maybe I should let you off the hook.
No, no. What we should talk about is we should talk about the new Jazz man.
Well, yeah, we've got trade talks, we've got draft talks. Let's start with the trade talks.
Trade talks. Well, some trades actually happened, and the most important one is the Jazz one. The Jazz now have their star point guard. Jazz got Mike Conley for Jay Crowder, Kyle Korver, Grayson Allen, number 23, which turned into Bazley, was that his name? And then another first down the road, Darius Bazley, something like that. And the pick, the first round pick has been protected in such a way that it'll probably be quite valuable in 2022. So I really hope the Jazz are really good that year. But all indications now are Jazz are as much a contender as any of the other teams in the West, you know?
Yeah. I was looking at Zach Lowe did a piece. Kevin O'Connor did a piece on The Ringer. They both talked highly of it. Zach Lowe broke this down and talked about how this trade was beneficial for both teams, that this is a good move for Memphis, who is young and wanting to build. And this is a great situation for the Jazz because it makes them contenders.
Yeah. Conley has been a borderline all-star for several years. It seems like he just barely missed the cut several times. Him and Gasol and the Grizzlies were deep playoff contenders every year for a long time. So he has that experience. He's coming to a team that's been to the playoffs 3 years in a row, and they're ready to make the next step. We're still very early, and it depends how other teams flesh out their rosters. But when you look at the turmoil going on in Houston, when you look at the Lakers got LeBron and AD, and now they need to get about 10 other guys on their roster to have a team. Clippers are going to try to get Kawhi, but who knows? Jazz showed that they can match up quite well with Denver and with the other teams. So, yeah, Jazz have as much a shot as anybody else the way I see it.
Well, you talk about fleshing out a roster, and that's actually one of the things that I want to talk about in regards to the Jazz, because with this trade, they do lose a guy who really seemed to give them a jump start last season and brought some very good shooting to the team in Kyle Korver. They also lost a guy who had some off nights, but for the most part was a pretty good shooter for them and at least a threat offensively in Jay Crowder, and actually did extremely well filling that stretch four, you know, for that small ball lineup that they liked to go with last year. Grayson Allen is gone. So here's my question for you. When you look at this lineup next season, it seems like the Jazz need to add a four in one capacity or another. And then I think you also have a little bit of a question mark at your backup point guard spot. Do you not, with injury history for the current reserves?
Yeah. I think they go ahead and keep Neto. And they addressed some of these needs in the draft, but since they're late second round picks, you can't really say they're addressed and it's done. But they seem to go for versatility in picking up some of those guys. I watched the highlight films of all three of them, so naturally all three of them look like great picks. But they got a guard, they got a wing, and they got a big man who looked like, best case scenario, he could be Jay Crowder with better shooting. But you know, let's not get crazy. But yeah, they now have to look around. They need to use their mid-level wisely, and they, I would think, are going to hope that good players wind up getting frozen out and they can get them for cheap to finish filling this roster. I think they do keep Favors at this point. If they don't, it means that they have some awesome trade that they feel like would improve the team losing Favors.
And I'm not seeing how that happens. There's just not many options right now.
No, the only thing I could, I mean, I haven't really even looked. I just assume they're keeping Favors. But if Favors goes, then I would assume it would be for someone of similar or slightly better talent, but yet has a second year. And so the team getting Favors would want to have one less year of a contract on their roster. I think it would be a scenario like that. But, you know, as is, I'm assuming Tabo's not coming back. Udo's not coming back. We know Ricky's not coming back. And when you look at the roster, the starting five looks great. The bench looks pretty thin right now, and they do have some needs they need to address still.
Let me ask you this. And I can't remember if it was a two-way contract or if it was just a straight-up NBA contract. What do you see happening with Tony Bradley?
Oh, he's a first-rounder. It's a straight-up contract. But they have to decide before the season if they're going to pick up that fourth year. And I, you know, rumor has it he's good in the G League, but he hasn't done anything in the NBA. I think he played in one game last year, even when the Jazz were having injury stuff going on. So I have no opinion on Tony Bradley still. At the time, I thought that, you know, they had Joel Bolenboy on the team the year before, and when they drafted Tony Bradley, I was just kind of like, why did they get rid of Bolenboy if they're just going to draft another Bolenboy? And I have yet to be dissuaded from my initial reaction. I don't know why they drafted him at the time, and 2 years later, I still don't know why. I really hope he's able to show us something this year. This is a make-or-break year for him.
Well, I mean, that's if he's even here. And the thing for me is, if it's been 3 years and I don't have an opinion on you as a member of the Jazz, then I'm sorry, but I can probably do without you. And if that frees up a space for even one of these new guys, I got to think that you almost go with that, don't you? I mean, someone who might be able to contribute. I mean, if you need a guard, if Exum has another injury, let's hope that's not the case, but he has had those concerns in the last few seasons. Neto's also had some injury problems. You're going to need a spot. I'd rather use it on someone who could be here and could contribute in that capacity, because, like you said, Tony Bradley didn't get in a game. I mean, they played Udo more. They played, was it Covington?
Yeah, you're right. Kavanaugh.
Yeah, Kavanaugh. See, I know more about players whose names I don't know than I know about Tony Bradley.
Yeah. So after 2 years, he hasn't done anything. You know, if anyone's watched G League, maybe they can tell us. I hear he's a good rebounder in G League. But when you look at, you just look at the amount of games played last year. Bradley is, let's see, he got in the game three times. So he played three games. Kavanaugh played 11. Naz Long played 14. You know, other guys just got in more. So, you know, he has to do something. And now I want him to dazzle me in summer league. Show me why you're here.
Here's some other things to consider too. I mean, you mentioned time to go out and look around, and I'm on the table with you. I think they keep Derek Favors, you know, unless something big comes along. But if they keep Derek Favors, you know, someone on Twitter last night I was watching conversation. You and I have been talking. The three of us have been talking a little bit, and you've been talking on Twitter about salaries, where they're at, things like that. Spencer Wixom was talking with Dan Clayton last night, and it was interesting to see. Assuming they waive Neto, they're right at the cap. With five spots open, two of those being roster holds, right, to get you to 12 players. So I was looking at it, but I went back and looked at his final tally today, and they were showing this. If they waive Neto with their roster holds, they'll and then obviously with a 13 spot, they fill it with an MLE, your team totals would end up being 104. Actually, if they re-sign Neto, I think. But that your team totals end up being 114 million, which is 5 million over the cap. So it's really right now the money.
Wait, what's the cap?
The cap is 109.
109?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure where he got some of those numbers. Maybe it's assuming that the second rounder sign. When I was looking at it the other day, I showed that if they keep their four guys, like their current 10, their current official 10, assuming he keeps them all, that's at 106 million. And the thing with the cap is you don't hit the luxury tax until 123 or 5. I don't know what the line's going to be this year.
Right.
So that's okay. So they can, if they want to waive Neto and give themselves a little more room, maybe they're able to sign someone for a little more than the mid-level. I don't see why they would waive Yang. They definitely won't waive O'Neill.
Right.
But yeah, if they waived all the, if they waived all the guys they can, sure, they'd have 19 million in cap space.
Right.
But they don't, why would they do that? So well, I think they keep them. Neto of the four. Yeah. Neto's probably the biggest question mark if they're actually going to keep him or not. But.
And that's what I was looking at is Hoops Hype had the Jazz's totals this last year at 113. I didn't realize that we were paying that high then. And now, and again, I'm looking at the graphic that Spencer shared that I think was the finalized graphic after he and Dan talked. He has Howell Neto in italics, whatever that means. But, and I'd have to add them all up. But yeah, that's the fact is, you're right. We have until that 120 something million in between where you're not going to go over. But how do we, there's limited room. The other thing is our friend Brett offered, not only do we have the mid-level exception, but he mentioned a biannual exception that not every team in the league has, but apparently the Jazz do. I'm not sure I understand what the biannual exception is though.
I don't know what that is either. I got my numbers from Basketball Insiders and so if the cap's 109, then the Jazz really don't have that much room. They would have, keeping everybody, they would have their mid-level, and then everything else would be veteran minimums and so forth. Now, they did draft three guys, so their current roster's 10. If all three of those guys made the roster, it'd be 13. I'd be shocked if they did, and yet, you know, I watch their highlights, and I'm like, cool, because they're three different type of bodies. They fulfill three different needs.
Right.
They went ahead and jumped up to number 50 and they got Jarrell Brantley, and I, you know, his highlights, he's a strong guy. He's a 6'7" forward. Looks like he can play some three, but he'd mostly be used as a four. You know, and all three guys, they had a lot in common. They could score inside and outside. They look decent on transition, emphasizing the whole time these are highlight reels. And then number 53, they went with Justin Wright Foreman, a left-handed shooter, a guard, a 6'2", a little undersized. Tony Jones really liked him, so I'm interested about that. I asked him if he's better than, say, Marcus Paige, and he said yes.
I saw that.
Good, good. So he looked good. They definitely need his outside shooting. And then the guy from Yale, I don't remember how you say his name. It's like Mai Oni. He was a skinny, lengthy, quick, athletic-looking guy. He looked fast. He can score inside and out. You know, all of them look great in their highlight reels. Take for you what it will. I'm looking forward to all three of them in summer league.
Right.
And let's see what they can do. But I thought that was interesting.
Okay, real.
They able to do that.
Okay, real quick. A biannual exception, I guess, is a 2-year, about $7.5 million that can be used only once every 2 years. This is what Brett explained to me, and he said that there's four or five teams that can't use it this year, but the Jazz are in position to use it, whatever that means. Now, again, that's what Brett's telling me. I haven't heard of it before until now. But yeah, and then one of the things he mentioned too is obviously we've seen Boston's put Aaron Baines out on the market for options for trade, But again, the situation has to be right, and we don't want to move Derek Favors if we don't have to, unless we find somebody comparable or an upgrade. So while you're
Baines on, wasn't Baines traded last night?
Was he traded last night? See, I didn't keep up on the trade news. I saw the draft. Did they finally trade him?
I thought they traded Baines to the Suns with number 24. I don't remember what the total deal was.
But, okay.
Well, but yeah, then, I'm pretty sure Baines is on the Suns now.
All right. That's the one I missed. So there you go. And while we're talking draft, Jazz news out of the way, let's talk draft. Tell us, just hit the highlights and the surprises to you.
Okay. The draft, I watched most of the first round. I thought at first it went a way that I think a lot of people anticipated. Zion first, Ja second, RJ third, Hunter fourth. I liked that the Hawks went ahead and traded up to grab the Andre Hunter. They seemed determined to get that young core built solidly now. Cavs with Darius Garland. The Suns had a weird, bad night. When the Suns traded number 6 to Minnesota for number 11 and Dario Saric, I was fine with that. But when they used the 11th pick on Cam Johnson that everyone had pegged going in the 20s, I just thought, oh man, the Suns are typical Suns again.
Yeah. So I was going to say, it's the Suns front office. Does it really truly surprise you, John?
No, just when you think they're going to do something right. I mean, they trade TJ Warren away for nothing to get cap space, and yet this is what they're filling their coffers with. I don't know. I thought
right,
it was crazy.
Right.
There were some reaches there early, which kind of made me wish we had still had 23. Not enough to not have Conley, but when Hachimura went number 9, when Cam Johnson went 11, I was kind of like, dang, there are going to be some good guys. And there were some guys I thought for sure we'd go in the first round that slid to the second. When they got to 23, and I could not believe that like Nassir Little and Keldon Johnson were still on the board, and they went with Darius Bazley, is like, okay.
Yeah.
Cause you know, every time we trade away a pick, I follow that pick. And if we traded the pick, then I hope the pick doesn't do that well.
Right.
No offense to those guys. there was a lot of weirdness in the second round. There was a lot of trades in the second round. At least half of the picks in the second half of the first round got traded. So,
did you keep up
a lot
on
of excitement?
Did you keep up on the news that was Manute Bol's son who dropped egregiously low?
Oh yeah.
I didn't know much about that, but that seemed to be trending last night. Everybody thought he was a late first rounder, and he dropped way down. Like, we're talking the bottom of
the 40s.
Yeah, bottom of the 40s, second round.
Yeah. The thing with him is that he ends up going to Denver. And if you remember last season, Denver got a guy who slipped in the first round as well. So we'll see how both of those picks end up for them this season. He could be a good backup to Jokic, right? He's a center.
Yeah. The concern with him is he's a 7'3" guy with a foot problem, and you know, big men with foot problems is very, very risky.
Right.
I was surprised that no one in the 30s wanted to take that risk, but I don't blame Denver at all for getting him in the 40s. And you know, best of luck to Bol Bol in his NBA career.
On the local scene, he caught attention of Rudy Gobert with his Spider-Man suit he was wearing.
Yep, saw that.
And he and Donovan went back and forth for a minute. Rudy was all over the fashion last night too. Who was it that came out wearing the pink suit? And Rudy said something about how much he loved that pink suit, and it showed up on the ticker on ESPN.
Well, that's because Rudy's got a pink suit.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that aspect of Rudy Gobert. I like his fashion sense.
Oh yeah.
So.
All right. Is that enough draft talk? Should we hit some quick points on trades?
Yeah, let's get going. All the trade stuff that we missed, you know, since right after we recorded, Anthony Davis got traded to the Lakers last week. Lakers gave up a lot to New Orleans. New Orleans, between the draft and that trade, is rebuilding quite nicely. New Orleans gets Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, all these picks. Draft night, the Pelicans traded the fourth pick. I'm now trying to remember who they got back for it. They just seem to get a big return. They're able to get off Solomon Hill's contract. pretty genius night.
I got your haul if you want to know what they got.
Yeah,
just out of the Anthony Davis trade, like you said, they got Ball, Ingram, Hart. They got the number 8 pick, Jackson Hayes. The number 17 pick, Alexander Walker. The number 35 pick, Silva. They get a 2020 protected first round pick from the Hawks via the Cavs. A 2021 protected first round pick from the Lakers. 2023 unprotected pick swap with the Lakers. And a 2024 unprotected first round pick from the Lakers with the right to defer to 2025.
Damn.
So, I mean, yeah. For the next 6 years, they're looking pretty good on picks.
You think?
I mean, that's a great haul. Let's be honest, right?
Yeah, they have an instant young core. They still have Drew Holiday. I mean, they'll probably have a better record this year than they did last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty nuts. That's a very good job by them.
And word was after that trade went down, just within a couple of days, Randall talked about shopping the market as well. Like, he may walk away. So he sees the writing on the wall with Zion and others, that he just doesn't think he's going to stick around. And I don't blame him. I understand that. So
they have plenty of room. So if they want to keep him, they can keep him.
Right, right.
And Randall's going to get a 10-digit offer from somewhere. So.
Exactly.
Good for him.
On other news that happened after we talked as well, Houston seems to be falling apart at the seams. You got Chris Paul wants out. I laughed at the fake Woj account talking about Chris Paul making fun of Harden's crying and this and that, and then Harden farts in Chris Paul's face. That fake Woj account had it, and it was hilarious. But word is he wants out.
Well, how could you not, John? Did you hear that there were a couple practices where Chris Paul was making fun of James Harden's man boobs to the point that he cried?
And that's the fake Woj account that I'm talking about.
No, that's not a Woj account.
It's Sports Talk Barry. He changes his account to Woj every once in a while.
Oh, does he?
Yes.
Oh, man. I mean,
I laughed. It was hilarious.
Skip should be out of a job, right?
Exactly.
I've watched that video 5 times at least, and it gets better every time for me. But really, though, what does Houston do from here? Because
Chris Paul's one of the top 3 highest paid players in the league right now.
That's a massive contract on an aging point guard. But at the same time, if you need a steady hand, I mean, if you've got cap space and you need a point guard and you're not planning on doing much for the next 3 years and you can get something back, I don't know. Is there any team that would want Chris?
Well, I did see a report that they were talking to the Knicks about it, and the Knicks didn't want to do it. And that just shows you how dire it is.
Yeah.
That contract. No one's going to want Chris Paul that old with that much money left, where he pisses off all his teammates everywhere he goes. And Daryl Morey came out insisting that Paul has not demanded a trade. I think they just got to suck up and deal with it. You know, they're going to be over the cap. They barely stayed under the cap last year by getting rid of a bunch of guys. Most of their core players are back. They're still under contract, not only with those two, but with Capella, with Gordon, and with PJ Tucker. So they're going to have to use cheap parts to fill in everything else if they want to not hit the cap. But, you know, I think they're going to have to, unless they figure out a way to get out from under Capella or Gordon, and I don't know what they're going to get back that's going to be better, then, you know, they're going to languish. And they're still a threat because Harden is just that good. But if the Jazz could just, like, avoid Houston in the playoffs this year, Western Conference Finals, woo!
Yeah.
That's just the way it looks.
Let me throw something out there, and it sounds completely crazy, and you can shoot it down. But if the situation is that bad, and if, in fact, James Harden has told management, as has been reported, that it's either Paul or him, with the inability to move Chris's contract, is it possible that James Harden could get moved?
No.
I don't think Houston so either.
Houston will never move James Harden.
Daryl Morey knows exactly who his piece is, and it's Harden. He'll build around him. He's not going
to
do that.
But you don't have the space to build around
him. Yeah, but he's not. He's not going to do it.
You're stuck for the next 3 years.
That would, but in Morey's case, that would be the dumbest decision you could make. Be stuck with an impossible contract with a player that nobody plays with, or keep your centerpiece. You've got to figure out a way to keep the centerpiece no matter what it takes.
But I'm telling you, I don't see anyone trading for Chris Paul.
I'm not disagreeing.
I think they're stuck for the next 2 years. I think in that final year, they could add some sweeteners for someone to take Chris Paul's final year. But you never know. We've seen a lot of bad contracts that we thought were untradeable get traded. But they seem pretty stuck.
It's right. Just crazy to me to think about a bad marriage in basketball going for 2 years and what that will do to that organization.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's why I ask is, do you bite the bullet and see if you can get some very good assets out of that star, because you've put yourself in an awful situation? I'm not saying it's the right move. I just wanted to know if it's something that they even entertain the thought of.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And speaking of bad marriages, last item, Boston. Goodbye, Kyrie. Goodbye, Horford, it looks like. Yep. That team's stripped down where it's now going to be your two best players are Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward. They've got to build. There's something to look for. I'm curious to see what Boston does. Very curious.
Well, The stuff that I've been seeing this week is Danny Ainge is so ready to make trades that the players on the team don't feel safe, and free agents, you know, look sideways at it because they know once they sign, they'll probably just get traded. And then Aaron Baines, when he opted in with assurance that he was going to be part of the team next year. And yet on draft night, he got shipped off to Phoenix. And so the players who are under contract, they all know they could go any time if a better offer comes along. And free agents go, sure, I could sign with Boston, but I'll probably get traded next year anyway, no matter how it's going. So he's just made one too many moves. I mean, Boston, you know, when they had Isaiah Thomas, they had great team chemistry. They had us. I don't blame him at all for the trade to get Kyrie Irving, but that seemed to break a lot of people. That broke the team in Boston, and you saw it with the Lakers with all the rumors about how they're all gone. Lakers didn't have any heart at the end of the season, and now all those guys are renewed and refreshed. But Boston is like, hey, please, please come. We'll sign you, but unless you're an all-star, we'll trade you the very next year.
Exactly. So, all right, that's the end of NBA talk this week. How much time you got there, John? Because I know you want to talk movie, and we've got a couple. Probably Devin's got a couple quick hits here.
I don't have any quick hits. Let's go ahead and talk about Chernobyl if you got a minute, John.
Yeah, Chernobyl's a miniseries on HBO. I just started it the other day. I'm halfway through it. It is very, very good. Alan and I are old enough to remember when Chernobyl happened, and I remember there was a lot of sketchy reporting about it. And because the Soviet Union was very secretive, it was hard to get information when it initially happened. So this is a really cool look back into just how big and bad the disaster was and how it could have been so much worse. But you know, the acting's incredible, the filmmaking is really good, and so anyone who has HBO, I would definitely recommend watching Chernobyl. I bet it's going to get a lot of Emmys and stuff next year.
All right. I had not heard about it until you brought it up just now, so I'm curious, although I don't have HBO, so...
Yeah, that's been my problem. I went to watch it a couple weeks ago, actually, because everyone's been talking about it and saying how good it is. But I just haven't been able to find someone's HBO login.
Personal thing to throw into pop culture. Last night, I read an article. John, I think you're going to get a kick out of this. You may have seen it. The new series throw into pop culture. Last night, I read an article. John, I think you're going to get a kick out of this. You may have seen it. The new series that's on Amazon Prime based on Neil Gaiman's book, Good Omens. Yeah. I'm looking forward to watching it. In fact, I tried to watch it last night, but I was just too doggone tired and I fell asleep about 5 minutes into it. But I've heard it's really good. Did you see the article that hit the scene yesterday?
That Netflixers are demanding they cancel Good Omens, even though it's on Amazon.
It's more than Netflix users. It is a religious petition that was started to get Netflix to stop producing Good Omens. And you know, and you read the reasons why they don't like that God is portrayed by a woman. They don't like this. They don't like the list goes on and on and on. But I laughed. It's because it's which is funnier, the petition or the fact that they're asking Netflix to stop playing a show that's actually on Amazon Prime?
The second part.
Yeah. You want to hear?
I get Christian groups are going to protest other stuff like that. But the fact they're getting the channel wrong is just hilarious.
You want to hear the even funnier part?
Go for it.
Amazon Prime responded.
Oh, I did see this. I saw the Twitter back and forth.
Amazon Prime says, in Netflix, you need to cancel Good Omens. We'll make sure to cancel Stranger Things.
Yeah, and then Netflix also said, we promise we won't make any more seasons of Good Omens.
So, yeah, Netflix and Amazon Prime have a little fun at the cost of this petition, at the mistake of... I guess mistaken streaming identity, if you will. But that said, I'm planning to binge watch that show over the weekend. There's another show on Netflix I want to watch. It's called Mother. A couple things I want to get out of the way this weekend, and we'll hit them next week. But Good Omens, it's coming out with rave reviews to start, it sounds like, and it's worth checking out. So, I encourage others to do so, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk for a few minutes next week about it. So, all right, that'll hit it for this week's edition of Jedi and Germs. We want to thank you all for joining us each and every week. Take a minute, if you will, and leave us a review on iTunes or anywhere you listen to podcasts, radio, to listen to us. And follow us and join our discussion on Twitter and or Facebook. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you real soon. John, take us out.
Hi, everybody.